Welcome to Talk About Talk with Shanti Niven and Desiree Luthi. Shanti and Desiree are professional speakers and trainers of world-class speakers and anyone who wants to improve their oral communication skills and their lives. Listen in as they share their captivating speaker secrets over morning coffee. Tune in weekdays from 7:30 to 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget to follow the show or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome on this beautiful Monday morning here in not-so-sunny California.
Is it Monday?
Oh, it's not Monday. Why did I? Oh, yes, I thought it was Monday because we're starting our week.
Well, okay. It's not really. I definitely started yesterday.
No, I'm saying that we're starting our radio week.
Oh, right. Our radio week is starting off late. Sorry. See, I have yet to have my coffee, so both of us. At least I knew it wasn't Monday. Come on.
I mean, what's the week for me? I work weekends.
Exactly.
Nights.
That's true.
I don't even know half the time what
day it is. Our whole schedule has moved around because of another fabulous holiday.
Oh, I noticed you said schedule.
I'm confused what that means. Now my head hurts.
You didn't say schedule.
Schedule?
You said schedule.
Do I say it differently?
You're saying schedule now.
Oh, man. Maybe I'm turning into a Brit. That'd be lovely.
Today we're going to be talking about stories and storytelling. And see, the quote from Janet Litherland, which I just loved, goes, "Stories have power. They delight, enchant, touch, teach, recall, inspire, motivate, challenge. They help us to understand. They imprint an image on our mind. Want to make a point or raise an issue? Tell a story."
It's, you know what's so crazy about this? I love the topic for this month. Well, the rest of this month or a little bit more of this month is going to be going into storytelling because one of my favorite movies of all time is called Big Fish. And that is based on storytelling and his view of his life and his words and how he... There's no boring story. He wanted to share the most elaborate versions of his life, and they lived on in his memory because a story can captivate an audience. Stories have the ability to, as she said, inspire, enchant, engage, to create a new world for your listeners and those or people reading, even those that are reading a story. It changes their life, and it's so beautiful and so powerful.
I agree. I think also we need to qualify here, a story well told. Because I have had the misfortune of...
Oh, right. That's a great point.
...of being in the company of somebody telling a story that never gets to an end.
Yeah.
And it has been painful to the extreme. In fact, I'm thinking of a particular person who's even part of our team who is a brilliant speaker, always was a brilliant speaker, always had an ability, but did not know when to sit down, did not know when to shut up. And it goes back to, I think it was Winston Churchill, who said, get up, speak up. Then shut up.
Exactly.
Because that's the point, is sometimes speakers get up there and there's an adrenaline rush as you get up to speak in front of an audience because you're facing a great fear. And then you overcome that adrenaline rush
and you get a high. You're like, I'm on it.
Oh, my goodness. And that's why in the organization Toastmasters, which I've been to for over 30 years, my age away, but also going to so many different clubs, it's well-known Toastmasters do love to talk, but they love to talk. They love to talk. And so it goes on and on and on and on and on until you should shoot yourself. So folks listening to the show, as important as it is to tell stories and to speak up, it's also important to shut up and to listen.
It's actually interesting, in our captivating improv and comedy last night, one of the questions a new lady that joined us had asked is, how does improv and comedy actually help me in speaking? How does it help me in life? And it's a great question because all of our classes do, but this one in particular was fantastic because it told people when to pause and listen. You need to release control and actually listen to those around you and start taking something away. So often we speak because we want to be the first ones to say something rather than listen and to hear what the other person wants to say. We just want to reply right away and share what we have to say. And sometimes it's best just to hold it. And, you know, it's hard, though, because sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, right? Sometimes we just want to let it all out. But pausing and listening is key.
It is. Part of that is excitement.
I know
that when I'm with you or with JoJo, for example, there's certain friends that we literally...
I want to qualify this. It might be a woman's thing as well, because I was talking to the girls in our kids' class even, and they said, well, how come girls can have so many conversations with my older brother? He just doesn't listen to my conversations. Because like, you're having too many of them. He doesn't understand what you're saying.
That's absolutely true. And my son is the one who gets the most confused. He's learned how to deal with women in the house by just switching off, and he floats around here in his own little, little world. And so that's David. He's learned how to cope with this. But if you give him too many instructions at once, oh, my goodness, fuse.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It just, something sparks off in the brain and everything melts down. So. Okay. Oh, my goodness gracious. I've got a fight. There's a little gremlin jumping up on me. This is a little doggy who wants some cuddles this morning. Okay, so into the storytelling. I wanted to put up a quote that I put onto Facebook, and I now cannot for the life of me find it. But it was a quote. I was listening to a instructor, trainer, speaker who is very popular on the East Coast, and that's all I'm going to say about her name. But I was listening to her speak, and she was being interviewed on a radio show about public speaking, and she was talking about the fear of public speaking, and she was talking about latest trends and some of the things I really did agree with her about. You know, she had some really good points, and she's a very good instructional teacher. She has a very clipped voice, very clear. She speaks very concisely. She repeats herself. It reminds me of a teacher, you know, really a certain kind of teacher style. At any rate, but one of the statements that she made, I completely disagreed, and that was that speaking, we're not meant to entertain. And I can't remember what the quote was exactly. I just put it onto Facebook. Just goes to show my poor brain. We have this gremlin here who's insisting on some attention or something. She's making all these grumbling noises, just in case all of you were thinking it's me. Okay. And so I plonked it onto Facebook and to see if people would take the bait and have a discussion and talk about this subject and whether they felt that speaking is meant to entertain or not. And it was really interesting to see the response. For the most part, people did agree with my statement that, in fact, we are, or we should be entertaining. And I need to clarify the meaning of the word entertain in my mind. And that is to engage the audience, to, for example, using storytelling techniques, by using a sense of humor, making it palatable. And I use the example of a meal. A meal does not have to be tasty, and it doesn't have to look good, but it makes it so much more palatable when it does. You'll still get nutrition if you mush it all up in a liquidizer and it comes out the other end looking like khaki, or khaki as they say here, and it's absolutely bland. You'll get that nutrition maybe. Excuse me, I still have this cough. But it is so much more palatable and interesting if you've got a dish that is beautifully prepared, it's artfully displayed, it looks good, it smells good, and you want to eat that meal. You want to eat it and enjoy it and savor it, and it's exactly the same way for me as an entertaining speech. But then you get people, so what do you think about this, Desiree? The people who say that there are certain speeches that are not meant to be entertaining, like this one woman who spoke about when they're talking about accounting figures, for example.
See, I know that a lot of things have changed. We are coming into a new life. You know, it's a new generation of things, how things are done. It's the world is evolving. We're changing, and we have to change along with it. And right now with multimedia the way it is, how we can have, I mean, Shanti, for example, she's on here. She has the radio show up. She's also on Facebook, just in case anyone's messaging us, because we do get messages on their email. So she has multiple windows up, not just her. Every person has multiple windows that they need constant engagement and interaction in order to stay focused. Their mind is going, well, the funny thing about that is they actually probably aren't staying as focused, but they do need that constant engagement. Even why movies are, you know, movies on Netflix, everything, people can sit through an entire, how many seasons in one sitting, because it's so entertaining. Yeah. And that's what needs to be brought back. If we want to get people off their couches and into the stadium seats, into conference seats, the seminar seats, you need to be entertaining. You need to bring something that's not going to make them, well, I'll just go home and Google it. Why do I need you here? I'll go home and look it up. You know, there's so many resources available on the internet. Why I can make it more entertaining in my own mind. I'd rather be engaged with someone who's there and giving me an experience and feeling. I want to leave feeling uplifted. I want to leave or leave feeling something, feeling that connection, because that's what we need as humans, that constant human connection, and we crave it. Our brains are wired for it. We are always trying to figure out, how can I connect with this person? What are they saying that makes me want to, I'm with them. We are on the same page. What is that common denominator? And that's what we're thriving for through stories. No matter who you are and speaking, if you're
striving
even
for.
I meant striving.
We're striving for in order to
exactly.
be striving.
But even with the facts and figures that Shanti just mentioned, yes, you can make it interesting, because guess what? If you make it, take creativity, if you make it in a way that people can, as she said,
swallow it,
visualize it, bring it down, digest it appropriately, you become remembered. And that's what we want. If you want to be, no offense, if you want to be I'm hesitant to say that, but a boring speaker, not that you would be, by the way, but a non-entertaining speaker, I guess, would be the more appropriate thing. If you don't want to be entertaining, then the show's probably not for you, because we are going to say a lot of things on here because we like to train the captivating way.
This is our
way.
Brand.
This is our brand, the captivating way, how to captivate the audience, how to grab and hold their attention. That's what captivating is all about.
Exactly. And I found the quote. That's what I was doing, looking on Facebook, and for some reason it seemed to have disappeared. But the quote by this professional corporate trainer was that people put way too much importance on being funny or being entertaining. Presentations are not performances, they're communications, and that's a much different animal. Now, like I said, I don't agree with that, because I've actually taught people how to present, corporates, how to present their material in a more entertaining way. And as I've said to, what was the woman who responded, said something about the fact that she had to present, okay, here was the thing. She said, slideshow presentations are an effective way to educate individuals who are enforcement services, and she uses PowerPoint. But the point that I made after that was the fact that if your PowerPoint is doing your work for you, if you are reading, oh goodness, this morning, between dogs interrupting and whoever that was messaging me, we got your message. And if your PowerPoint is doing the job for you, then I have a suggestion for you, and that is to send the PowerPoint to your audience and save them the excruciating hell of listening to you. And I know that sounds cruel, but think about it. I want you to think about it right now. A lot of people they love the sound of their own voice, and yet put them in an audience where they have to listen to this stuff and somebody droning on and on and on and reading off a PowerPoint. Their own concentration is going to have a struggle. You're going to be thinking about what groceries you need to buy after work. You're going to be thinking about a million different things, but you're not going to be thinking about the presentation. So here is what I want to challenge all of you to think about and to do. Because today, really, we're introducing storytelling as a device. But it's also about how to entertain your audience, how to keep them awake, how to keep them engaged, how to keep them with you, as Desiree said, and connected. This is very, very powerful, folks. And honestly, if you want to win over clients, if you want to, you know, win over your employees, there's one thing I want to mention as well, that if you have a company, you're an entrepreneur and you employ people, or you're an executive and you employ people, or you're an employee who wants to move up in an organization, learn these skills. They're important.
In addition to that, it's not just in the business place, your personal life, it's a value to everything, because storytelling, we are all marketers of our own brand. You are your own brand, and you are constantly marketing yourself, whether it be to a potential employer, to your customers, to your friends. You are constantly marketing yourself, even to a possible suitor, if you will. Mm. And you need to present the best story. What are you giving the world? And it's whether it's stories about yourself so someone gets to know you better, or something that you're trying to market for your business, a product or a service perhaps. You need to provide a story. That's what people want to hear. Not, they don't always want to hear the facts and figures. They have it already in their mind most of the time. If not, if they do, you get the occasional facts and figures. What they want is that experience, that story. And research has even proven this. So it's not just us saying this. This is a proven fact that even marketers, you want to become a great marketer of yourself, of your products, of your service, anything, you need to become a great storyteller.
And something I might mention here as well, because marketing selling has become a bit of a dirty word. And the reason for that is because we've been oversold to. And so what happens in the human brain is that we develop a resistance.
Mm.
And the moment, it's amazing, it's as though we store things up and then we create a filter. So, for example, when I first came here, I didn't have this resistance. I would watch the Home Shopping Network because it was fascinating to me, and QVC. I was fascinated by this. Now, most people would laugh at me, but I'd sit there, and of course, every day, packages were arriving at the house, and my husband at the time would be saying, what have you bought now? And he just thought I was absolutely crazy. But it was because my filters weren't in place yet. I hadn't built up a resistance to it. And so everything I saw was just seemed so amazing. You know, just chopper, peeler, mincer, whatever it was so amazing because they're so convincing and they seem so passionate. And then they share their stories. Have you noticed in all of these? You've got this woman saying, and you know, before I had this chopper, peeler, masher, the chump, whatever it's called, before that, I used to cry when I peeled my onions and chopped my onions, and she'd tell a story. Mm. And then suddenly, that would be why I was engaged, because I'd hear these stories. They're are anecdotal stories. And then, of course, you've always got at the end, and that's not all. So you're going to get all this extra stuff. And what do human beings love more than getting gifts? And so this to us seems to be like a gift under a Christmas tree. But after a while, something starts to happen. When you realize that this is disingenuous, that it is not, for the most part, I'm not saying all products, because I've ordered some really good products. My NutriBullet, for example, I'm going to give it a plug. Best buy ever.
I love that thing.
Love my NutriBullet.
I love my Kindle. I have to give that a plug as well. My Kindle is my favorite thing in the world.
Kindle is a fantastic thing. So there have been good things that we've bought, but there have been so much more.
Mm.
Like this pity. I've forgotten what the
thing was. There's been some funny ones. We'll have to, I mean, that's
my miracle mitt.
Her miracle mitt.
Okay, so there's been a few that I've bought that have been total dead. The petty thing, whatever it was, petty shawl, on shows on television that you put it onto dry heels and all the dry skin comes straight off. And when I ordered this thing, by the way, which was only $10, well, it turns out, and then you get a second one free. You know that one was except you pay separate shipping and handling. Do you remember, Des, I think I paid close to $60 for this? The shipping and handling? I mean, can you believe it? I fell for that. Anyway, the reason why I'm saying this is that I fell for that.
It's less than a pound. Less than a pound little product.
I know. And then I couldn't wait to get the wrapping open and try this product on my heels. And the moment it has this little spin, it spins. It goes, and then the moment you put it on your heel, it goes. And then you try it again and pull it away. And you put it back on your heels. It is absolutely useless. And so please, people, if you see this commercial running, do not buy this product. That's a story.
There needs to be truth behind what you're selling. And storytelling. If you're going to tell a story about anything, there needs to be some truth, truth into it, of course.
And so that's the point of all commercials are stories. They're not necessarily the once-upon-a-time story with the characters or whatever, but they are stories. They show you mind pictures, and that's really the definition of the story. And the product is the hero coming to the rescue.
Mm.
So the antagonist in this case is the nasty cracked heels, and the protagonist is coming into the rescue is this petty shawl, whatever it was called. But some of these stories, when you find out, now, if you know, for example, somebody telling you a story that it's make-believe, that it's fiction, and you can go along with it, and you can get wrapped up in it, that's one story. But if you believe the story and you believe the speaker and they seem sincere and they tell you a story, whether it be a speaker on the stage, whether it be a commercial selling you some sort of product, and then you find that reality doesn't measure up, and this is a big part of telling stories, is being authentic and real.
Credible.
And credible. Is that disappointment then causes people to put up barriers. But in fact, what happens, and this is something I wanted to just briefly mention today, is that people develop filters that then make it a lot harder for people who are genuinely passionate about their product.
Mm.
And you've got to be careful. Because if you use any of the words, let's say, for example, I've built up a massive resistance to QVC or to not know the home shopping network.
Yeah.
And I hear the word and I say to you, I'm selling you a product. I'm sending you this really, and I really believe in this product. But then I say at the end, and that's not all. You also get what's going to happen.
Whoop. But I already have in my mind. See, that's the problem. I've already created in my mind. That's a whole marketing separate thing, but that's I've already created in my mind. I already not going to trust you. Same with telemarketers. I already know. If I see your number, I already don't want to talk to you. And then as soon as I pick up, you just prove me right. And that's the
wrong
story.
And what happens with a telemarketer who says to you, I'm just conducting a survey? Do you believe this?
Nope.
No.
I had one yesterday who said, oh, you want a free loan for your future education. I'm like, oh, I never signed up for a future education. Where did you get my number? And he's like, well, you signed up online. You signed up online, and this is your future education. What would you like to do? Yes.
I would like to put the phone down right
now
and get on with my day.
He ended up hanging up on me, actually.
You know what? I still, right now with telemarketers, I feel a little sorry for them. So I try to be polite, but some of them get a little, you know, you've got to understand they're getting paid to do this. They get a script and they're doing a job. And so, folks, I'm going to ask you, don't answer the call, or if you do answer the call, be polite and firm, but don't be rude to telemarketers. It almost seems to become an industry now to be rude to telemarketers.
Don't be rude, but there's a reason why the do not call list, within the first couple of weeks that it opened, jumped to over 50 million people. Because no one wants to be bothered like that. They don't want to be attacked or sold to. But the funny thing about that, turn it. If you do get a telemarketer call, I like to do this, turn it into a little research project. How are they speaking to you? Are they even taking a break during their scripted conversation to even let you talk, to get to know you at all, to find out how their product or whatever they're trying to sell will help you? Try to do a little, take a little survey, but be careful. Don't give away too much information because then you'll go on all future lists. But make it a little bit of a game and an observation of the speaker now.
Yeah, I agree. But I think there's nothing like being polite. And look, if they start to harass you, take steps. But if somebody phones in and you say, I'm on the do not call list, please do not call this number again. Please remove my number from your list. Be polite, folks, because, you know, that's one thing I do think about. There's somebody on the other end who's trying to make an honest living. Okay, having said that, let's get back to the crux of, you know, I believe most of the time. I do. Maybe I just believe in the kind of nature of man. I think very often they're given a script. It's the unscrupulous marketers behind them. But most often those people are people who are just wanting to make a living.
Well, now it's, even those people, like, for example, Daniel's scam thing. I know the ones that I've been getting recently are scam. They want my card information. I know, because I know the first
thing
that
comes out of
their mouth.
That's a whole different story.
But that's most of them now. That's what I'm getting. Most of my spam phone calls are about 99% of that. I may get one.
Okay, we're not talking about Nigerian scam artists. And those, by the way, folks, if you
they don't need to be Nigerian.
If you are tuned in, I know, but I'm just using a generalization. But let's face it, I think almost all scams generalize, or I can be general about that, in that I think Nigerians are a remarkably creative people. They really are. They're brilliant. And desperation, that's another thing, folks, you've got to understand, is something that might shock you when I say this. I actually befriended a Nigerian who tried to scam me. And honestly, if you get into their story and their struggle, you understand that they are really also trying to get ahead and get out of their circumstances that seem impossible in their lives. Okay, I'm not excusing what they do. In fact, I try to convince this guy of another way. And really, he was begging for another way. And I said to him, well, do you think about the people that you scam? And he said, of course he does, but they can afford it. The Americans are rich. That's, in their mind, what they see. Anyway, that's a whole other story. So I wasn't really talking about that. And my point that I wanted to make this morning is that we all tell a story, and it depends on how real our story is. And so it begins with, if you're going to tell your own story, if you're going to share, for example, you buy beauty products that have done a marvel for your skin, then share an honest and real story. People will know the difference. I get asked all the time, what do you do for your skin? Because I'm an older woman, and I do have a relatively unwrinkled. Until recently, I just developed two little tiny lines in the corner of my eyes, but until recently, I could actually proudly say I didn't have a single wrinkle on my face. And I do have a great skin, but a lot of women would say to me, what do you do for your skin? And guaranteed, whatever I said, they would buy. So the power of anecdotal stories and about what you, and that's also, as I say, a story. It doesn't necessarily mean a once upon a time there lived. We're talking about your stories, which means your experience of the world, your interaction with the world.
And how you present it. As Shanti said, being authentic, being the real you, is what's going to make those stories live on as well. Shanti has so many stories about her family and stuff that she's experienced, and those stories will always live on. They will become legacies because they're something that just captures the audience and stuff that is also unbelievable. And speaking of, your stories are unbelievable. Why is that? You gave me a face. Why is that a bad thing?
I'd say unbelievable means not believable.
They're unbelievable stories. They're incredible. That's what.
Yeah. I'm just laughing because we use words here, for even in where I come from, we say something like tremendous, for example, meaning great, really super.
Other words, yeah.
Tremendous actually means huge. Unbelievable means not believable. But we use it now, unbelievable, as a...
It's unbelievable.
Yes,
it's exciting.
Great.
Well, I wanted to go touch on that.
I was just smiling because of the context.
I wanted to, the other story I wanted to talk about with that, because you spoke about the facial cream, was there was a wine glass company. They created wine glasses, and they created all alcoholic glasses for different beverages. It could be for scotch, different glasses for each beverage. But what they became famous for is this wine glass, because it changed the taste of the wine. Because of how it was formed, how it was shaped, the wine went in and it was adjusted, and all of a sudden the two-buck chuck tasted like this incredible $500 bottle of wine, and the $500 wine, you could only imagine what that tasted like. But then this company became famous for their wine glasses because everyone wanted these wine glasses, and they were willing to pay so much money for them because they could take any cheap wine, have a dinner party, and everyone would have that glass of wine. But then they did a science study. They did a science study on it, and they found out, the research on it said, they blindfolded people, gave them different wine glasses, including the one that was the famous, the must-have wine glasses. None of the participants could tell the actual difference. But when they had the wine glass without the blindfold, they believed that wine tasted so much better.
Okay, so now you have just exactly demonstrated the principle that I was talking about, because they believed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you something interesting. There's another experiment once on television where they had chefs. First of all, they took people into a room which was very sparsely decorated with just ordinary tables, and then they brought them out some tinned food. It wasn't really very palatably presented. And two-buck chuck. And, well, I shouldn't be saying two-buck chuck because, you know, I didn't want to say a brand, but some cheap
wine. Two-buck chuck isn't a brand.
Yeah.
It's a bottle.
Okay, yes. So a cheap wine. Point is, they served everybody who then had to rate the food. And, of course, as to be expected, it was rated very low. They then took the same room. They decorated it beautifully, ambiance with some music. Person arrived in with a maitre d', of course, and it was all very posh and what have you. And they even had top food connoisseurs and wine connoisseurs come in. I'm sure some who had been in the earlier experiments as well, but now suddenly everything was a different atmosphere. They sat them down, they gave them the exact same food, except for the difference.
Mm.
It was artfully decorated. So it was, instead of just being thrown on the plate, it was little portions, beautifully done. And it's still our cans. And the wine was still, they put it in a expensive bottle into beautiful crystal glasses, and so it was all the expense, and suddenly even the wine connoisseur was raving about the wine, and the food was of higher standard, so the ratings went higher up, even though it was the same food prepared in the same way, same wine. So here is a principle for you. It's not necessarily deceit, but what we see, what we hear, what we smell, all of the other senses go together towards creating an experience.
Mm. It's all about that packaging.
It's all about packaging. So when I listen to that and I said to you, I believe that, I know, for example, if I have my coffee out of a thick, clunky cup, as opposed to my little bone china, because I always, you know, I always like my bone china cup.
Mm.
But I honestly believe that it tastes better to me, and because I believe it, it does.
It does, and that's where our minds, in a way, we're all, in a sense, liars, if you will. And it's not in the harsh way, because liar is a bad word, but in the way where we want to believe what we want, and that's where our thoughts are very powerful, and you have the ability to either do facts and figures, the way the one person on Shanti's Facebook social media mentioned, or creating a beautifully wrapped package for your audience, giving them something a little tasteful, a little bit more because, and it's not only that, you mentioned the atmosphere was created in that restaurant. The tone of your voice is the atmosphere you need to create with your audience in storytelling. That same thing, you either have a, you can tell them the most incredible story, but if your tone and your atmosphere of that speech is not, that isn't appropriate,
it falls flat.
It falls flat.
We're getting to the end of the show, and really what I wanted to achieve today is to simply introduce this as a subject and to also to share with you the importance of storytelling and also to help you understand that storytelling isn't once upon a time the three little pigs.
Hey, why not?
That is a story. I'm not saying that is a storytelling, but storytelling also is our human interactions and a way of presenting our experience, our life, our own stories, and or thoughts or imaginations in an artful way. It's taking, and really what we're doing as a brand, Captivating as a brand, is taking it out of the seedy, dirty, what do they call it, a spoon here, a greasy spoon, which is the first scenario, into the fine dining experience. So really that's what we're wanting to do. Is we're wanting to teach you how to use your words in such a way that you engage your audience.
Captivate them.
So that they're captivated, because when they are, you achieve certain things. Mm-hmm. Now, absolutely critical to that, and what we wanted to share today, is that you are genuine.
Mm.
Because I don't want to be helping people. Clearly, this information in the wrong hand can be used in a very negative way. But if you are passionate about what you do, and you use this as a device, it's a very powerful device.
Absolutely.
And it does help you, as Desiree said, to connect with others, and that's really what it's all about. So we've come to the end of our Monday morning show on a Tuesday morning.
Yes, we have.
We'll get back onto Monday morning. It was President's Day yesterday, and we did not actually have a holiday. We had a lot of work to catch up on. But we'll get back into routine for next week, Monday. And in the meantime, what I'm going to suggest to you all as homework is begin to collect stories. You can... absolutely a wealth of information on Facebook, on all sorts of the media. One thing that the internet has done is it's brought all of our stories. Everybody shares stories. Some are more entertaining than others, and those ones you can always tell because they're spread almost viral style with thousands of views, and it gets spread from one person to another. And here's what I want you to ask yourself in preparation for next week. What is it that makes story worth sharing? What is it that makes a story worth sharing? And think about this. And then I want you to jot down a few points, because we're going to be discussing that next week, is the things that make a story worth sharing. Because if you can share a story that in turn others share, and the one thing, I'm not being boastful when I say this, but I know, for example, that my storytelling ability must be okay, because I have heard stories being told back to me that are original stories from me. They've gone around the world. That is so weird.
And that's what becomes viral. Let's be honest. That's where the biggest, the best marketers around, the best storytellers out there. Think about where you see stories. Look at a commercial on TV. Listen to a telemarketer. They're all given something. Observe it. And learn to cultivate your ability to storytell. And yes, you can be authentic. And at first it may be uncomfortable, because how do you add these characters and these ideas and that atmosphere? It takes time and practice, just like everything else. But the true key is to watch the best, Shanti included, and learn from them. Observe. What do you like? What grabbed your attention? What made you connect? Because guess what? What made you connect is going to make others connect. That's what you need to find.
And having said that, I wish that I had the rich voice of some of the male narrators, because they have voices like liquid honey, and it's so compelling. Alan, for example, I could listen to him all day
with that
beautiful rich timbre to his voice, but I haven't, and I make up for it because when I'm telling a story, I live it. And so we're going to leave you on that note, is living a story.
Be authentic, live that story. That's your life, my friends. It's your life.
Okay, and we hope that you enjoy a fantastic week. If you're in the Woodland Hills or Los Angeles area, for example, why did I say that? Sometimes I do wonder about myself. If you're in the greater Los Angeles area or Woodland Hills, the Valley, please tonight we had the Clash of the Titans on. I mean, honestly, we don't have much space. So if you do want to come, you're going to have to message. But we have some of the top speakers, I believe, in the world.
We do, actually.
In
we
our
know,
club.
We actually do.
We do know it. Because
we do know it.
One of them has already gone to the top. But he's been challenged tonight by some really great speakers.
I mean, it's going to be a duel. It's going to be so much fun.
Do you know what I forgot in my Clash of the Titans? I think Kat has entered as well, hasn't she, into the World Championship? Has she entered tonight?
I don't remember, but I think so, yes.
Because, you know, Daniel didn't send it in my list. So, Kat, if you're listening, please,
apologize. She's not going to be there tonight.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Who was I thinking about then?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So I didn't list her up because I would have put her on as Mary Poppins. She reminds me of Mary Poppins.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But we have some amazing, amazing speakers tonight.
Yeah.
And their speeches, I know because I have been looking at them. Wow. I don't even know how we're going to choose a winner tonight. So if you're in our area, let us know. Email us at info@shantiniven.com. We'll get you a pass to the Hilton Hotel in Woodland Hills. And folks, go to iTunes now after the show. Type into at the store in the podcast section, Cap Talk, CAPTALK, and subscribe to our podcast because, somebody said to me a while ago that we had such incredible shows last year, and how do they get hold of these shows? But they're no longer because we pull them off after a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want all of our information floating around. We will, obviously, we're freely sharing it with you, but if you want to, download it, keep it, because you will use this information.
We have the other side of it, they can join Club Captivate as well, and they have access to all of this information and more. So let us know if you're
Club Captivate is just a steal, and it's never going to be this cheap ever, ever, ever again, because we're starting it off as we're wanting to promote it. This is not us trying to self-speak. This is genuinely the truth. We do want to promote it.
We're just giving a more individualized, more in-depth training.
Yeah, and Club Captivate is, we've got some exciting stuff happening. But if you join as a member this year, or the beginning part of this year at least, you get it, a membership for $1 a day, $365 for the year, or a monthly subscription that you can pay off every month, which is cheaper than a gym membership. And you get to learn how to become an incredible speaker, a great speaker. And it literally will.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you this because it honestly changed mine. And you will become more successful, and there are a whole lot of other benefits. Anyway, I'm now carrying on beyond the point. We've finished our show. Have a wonderful week. We'll get back to you very soon to let you know who won.
Teeth are grinding. Teeth are grinding. With that, everyone, as always,
stay captivating.
And if you're on the TV,